With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Awesomeo Slate Starter Podcast. It's your old pal Emac coming to you with one Pete the Heat Rogers as we get ready for a four-game Tuesday slate, gearing up to a 13-game Wednesday Thanksgiving Eve slate. No games on Thanksgiving, and then we resume with another large one on Friday. I believe that one is going to be 12 games. I think there's one early afternoon game, so it'll be an 11-game main slate, and then Saturday rounds out in earnest. There are eight games. A couple of those are afternoon games. We'll have to see what's going on. We have rivalry week for college football split between Friday and Saturday, and then, of course, we have the Awesomeo deal, the steal deal, the Black Friday special, promo code stuffing. We'll get you the NFL 1 week express package for just a dollar. Now, here's why you're going to want to do that. That gets you all of our showdown content, all showdown projections, players, ownership, etc. It gets you the full main slate player rankings, ownership rankings. So again, these are tiers that get you exactly what you need to see if you're just playing a handful of lineups. Gets you all of the DraftKings actual tiers projections for that particular format. And then, of course, you get access to the premium Discord. The other thing that's nice, there are three showdown slates on Thursday. Now, generally, our showdown slates include the primetime games because we need them to, for the amount of work that goes into running the models and the tools behind the scenes, they really need to have large contests to make it worthwhile. So, of course, we do for all the playoff games, but we also do for all the Thanksgiving games. Otherwise, it's Thursday, Monday, and Sunday. But you get three games on Thanksgiving, plus you get Monday and Sunday if you sign up now. This deal goes away on Friday, so don't wait too long. And if you sign up now, you're going to get those three Thanksgiving games. Who doesn't want to watch football and get fat on Thanksgiving? That sounds like most of my Mondays, Thursdays, Sundays, and the occasional playoff Saturday. How are you doing? Mr. Owns his own gym and trains fighters to beat each other up. I would last half a second, maybe. I'd fall over climbing into the octagon.
What's going on? What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us. Appreciate you guys having me again. I truly love doing these shows for you guys. I can't wait for Thanksgiving. Easily one of my favorite holidays. Love spending time with friends and family. Love eating delicious food. Turkey, I think a lot of people feel is overrated, but I absolutely love my turkey, gravy, mashed potatoes. Man, I can't wait for Thursday and kick it off with some nice football games. You know I'm going to be sitting there making tons of lineups for Thursday, and I can't wait to sit back and watch the games.
Yeah, it definitely should be a good one. We've got the games. Oh, I know them for the West Coast times. And it's funny, I've been out here, oh my gosh, like 13, 14 years now in the D.C. area. So I believe it's 12:30 games. When I lived in the West Coast, that was a 9:30 game. Like you would just get out of bed from going out the night before, seeing all your friends, and ease into the Thanksgiving holiday with the early game. But now that it's at 12:30, 4:30, and then I want to say 8 o'clock is the late one, or 8:30. But we're going to have 3 hours of NFL content leading into that first kickoff, and then we will have the live before lock for the evening game. So we've got all sorts of content coming up for everyone, especially since most people will have the holiday off. It'll be a lot of fun. Let's get into our slate here. Just a four-gamer, as I mentioned. There are going to be a few moving parts with some injuries. We will have to see. Let's see. Cleveland is on a back-to-back, and we'll have to see what's going on. Oops, that's Wednesday's games. I'm sorry. I looked ahead. Let me get back to Tuesday's games. So we'll cut that out in post. We have Miami at Detroit. Duncan Robinson still a little dinged up. Markieff Morris still out. Killian Hayes is going to be out for Detroit. Isaiah Stewart suspended for two games for Detroit for his little kerfluffle with LeBron James. LeBron James is suspended for one. He's in the next game with LA at New York. We have Anthony Davis is probable. James again suspended. Taj Gibson is doubtful. And then Mitchell Robinson unlikely to play, still in the concussion protocol. Denver at Portland, we'll have to see what's going on with Jokic. He has missed two games now with his wrist injury. And then the final game of the night, Dallas at the Clippers. We don't know what's going on with Luka Doncic. He was practicing. Dallas just has two games this week, so it would not be a complete shock if they just let him rest on this one and didn't go and have him play until the next one. So we'll have to see what's going on there. Let's look at point guards here, Pete. Up at the top, of course, you've got Russell Westbrook with no LeBron James. You got Talen Horton-Tucker, who was sent over to the bench. He's shooting guard, small forward. But you have a really good New York Knicks defense these days. What do you want to do here? Take it from the top.
Yeah, obviously we have Doncic, Westbrook, Lillard at the top. For me, Westbrook has been somewhat unreliable to basically provide amazing stats. He's just not consistent, but he is coming off a strong performance against Detroit. Went 10 of 21 from the field, 26 points, 10 assists, 9 rebounds. That's a stat line that's really reminiscent of his early career, something that, you know, we were hoping to get to a lot this year. He's been serviceable, absolutely serviceable, but at 10-5, it makes me just wonder when there are some other quality guard options out there. I'll get to Westbrook, of course. I might be even with the field. Obviously, without LeBron James, usage is going to be bumped up, and production, you would hope, would be bumped up. But targeting New York is something I don't really enjoy doing. I think that New York is a pretty solid team. I would much rather go to Damian Lillard, who's starting to find his rhythm. And I know that he's been extremely unreliable this year as far as, you know, what we're accustomed to. But at 9-6, I think it's a fair price tag, especially when I'm comparing him to Russell Westbrook, facing a somewhat beat up Denver team, which I think could definitely play into, better result for Portland in this situation. Damian Lillard is coming off a strong performance where he went 10 of 21 from the field, scored 39 points, 7 assists, 56 fantasy points. So I really like Damian Lillard here. I think that a lot of people will probably like Westbrook a little bit more. So perhaps Lillard could come in slightly less owned than Westbrook because of the automatic, let's put Westbrook into our lineups without LeBron James type of attitude. Cade Cunningham at 7-4, definitely serviceable. And his past three games are really starting to show his potential, coming off a 50.5, 46, 41, and 51.5 fantasy point performances. Absolutely amazing. It's not like he's scoring a tremendous amount of points, 13 points, 19 points, 16, and 25. He's getting it done elsewhere by just providing so many different, categorial stats where we have good rebounding rates, good assists, even some blocks and some steals in there. Obviously, the steals are something you don't want to bank on, but at 7-4, I like it. I don't enjoy targeting anybody against Miami, but I'll tell you that Cade Cunningham is a guy I got no issues getting to.
All right. I'm just looking up the last 10 games here, see where their defensive rating is for New York. It's actually middle of the road. Of course, when you start taking segment sizes, it all depends who your recent opponents were, et cetera. Yep. The one thing that does stand out, they're playing at a bottom five pace. So that overall combination of less possessions in reasonable defense tends to mute the upside for their opponents. Of course, we do know the Lakers are playing at one of the faster paces. Let's just look since we have that up right now. The Lakers over their last 10 games are playing at the fourth fastest pace. So that'll probably all kind of neutralize there. These, again, when we talk about pace, when we talk about defensive efficiencies, think of those as tiebreakers. All that's going to be factored into good projection systems. And so anything that we really influence just kind of double counts things. So while it's okay to kind of put your thumb on the scale just a little bit, don't go overboard because you'll really upset what potentially could be happening. And that's what, in the poker world, they would call that a leak. That would be a mistake, something that would, like a leak is like, oh no, I have a bucket full of water and it's slowly emptying and I don't know why. Well, there's a leak in it. We don't want that. We only want to make our own mistakes intentionally not unintentionally for that one. Cruising down towards the lower end here, we still have players like, and value will appear. I always say that there are eight teams in action. There will be something that we are unaware of, but you've got, you know, down there, Anfernee Simons is interesting just in case Damian Lillard is a no-go or potentially somewhat limited. You have a discounted Kemba Walker. Yeah. I know we're not doing cartwheels over him, but you've got him and Derrick Rose. They're not horrible. At this point, that's kind of what we call placeholder value. A lot of the ones like Jalen Brunson, well, he's priced up because, you know, Doncic has missed a couple games now. He's missed, I think, three games. So on after three straight 40 fantasy point performances, we're seeing Brunson priced where he should be. Right. And if Doncic is back, we could be in a little bit of trouble there. Did you mention Cade Cunningham?
Yep. Yeah, I like Cade a lot.
Yeah, don't fade Cade. That was fun to say for the first two games. If you followed that since then, it has not been so fun. Again, we talked about leaks. Let's not let that be one. Looking at Yahoo real quick here, we'll just wrap up each position as we generally do. There's nothing really at the bottom with the exception of a potential Corey Joseph sighting. He's at the even $10 on Yahoo. He does have 20 fantasy points at least in each of his last three games, but he's only about a 0.6 fantasy point per minute producer, so he needs to get those minutes. If Killian Hayes continues to be out, that should open up the doors for him a little bit. And then you even have somebody like Amonte Morris, who now he's 18. Be careful with that one. He's better off on the other sites. At 18 on Yahoo, he's a stay away. He has, since Jokic has been out, he scored 20 and 16 fantasy points. He's not getting the boost that I had suspected he was. I'd rather turn right around and go with Reggie Jackson at the same price point going against Dallas. Moving on to shooting guard here. We're going to see some of the same names. We got a little CJ McCollum here. We've got a disappointing Will Barton. But this looks, you know, Will Barton going against his former team, right? Doesn't he start out with 7 points for that one? What do you have here for shooting guard for us? So maybe a little Eric Bledsoe, perhaps 5,500 on DK.
Oh man, I'll tell you that CJ McCollum is fine. I think that his price point's fine.
You're just going to avoid talking about Eric Bledsoe.
Do not enjoy Eric Bledsoe. I've lost many parlays from having Eric Bledsoe. I remember one time I had him in a lineup and I just needed him to do like, to get like, let's call it 18 fantasy points. And I would have taken down the tournament. So I avoided him. And then the following night he ended up going bonkers. And because I didn't roster him, he ended up just burying all my lineup. So Eric Bledsoe is kind of like on my don't trust list, but I get it. On a slate like this, a four gamer, it's tough to completely cross people off.
We have to have different rules and a short memory on the short slates.
We do. I can't tell you that, like, if I'm getting a lot of Eric Bledsoe, I would definitely go and modify it. But again, it's a four gamer and I try not to have my bias affect anything, but CJ McCollum at the top is fine. 7-8, a solid matchup against Denver, 'cause it's not the true unit. Cunningham, we spoke about, I like him a lot. Will Barton, I think this could be I would say buy low, but his salary's high. It's just let's get Will Barton in a leverage position where everybody could possibly be off of him because he has not really stepped up to the plate with Jokic's absence. In his past two games, he played 34 minutes and 28 minutes, only 35 fantasy points and 20.75 fantasy points. I think better days are to come because he went 9 of 16 from the field, 4 of 15 from the field. When he's really starting to maneuver that offense and provide assists, I think that's when you start to see his potential. This could be a better spot for him. I have no problem getting to him. Obviously, he's really not trustworthy at this point, but again, short memory, small slate, that's how it works. Talen Horton-Tucker is one of the most interesting pieces here for me, and I feel like THT is fine whenever LeBron James is out. And now that we know that LeBron James is going to be suspended one game, Talen Horton-Tucker is in a similar situation that Will Barton is, coming off of two extremely disappointing performances where he had 8.5 fantasy points and 21 fantasy points. Prior to that, popped off a 52 fantasy point performance and a 42. I like THT because I'm not convinced that the Lakers are a good team. And I do think that THT can provide some playmaking ability where Russ can struggle in certain areas and just I don't know. Russ used to be able to contribute a little bit more, but I think a guy like THT can somewhat set plays and all that a little bit more. I don't mind him at all. The Derrick Rose is interesting because of his Q tag. I'm not expecting him to play, but if he does, that's somebody to monitor. But with the Derrick Rose possible absence, you talked about Kemba Walker, who I definitely think is interesting at 4.8 at point guard, but on shooting guard, a player in Alec Burks against the Lakers team. I like picking on the Lakers. I don't think that they are a good team. I already mentioned that several times. And not in his past performance, but in the two prior, Alec Burks had 43.75 fantasy points and 31.25. Obviously coming off of a relatively underwhelming one where he only scored 15.75 fantasy points, but he's cheap. And he's cheap and in a position that I'm not absolutely in love with. I'm okay with getting to a value play in Alec Burks or getting one of those top guys like a Cunningham, a McCollum, or possible mid-row THT.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here to pay our respects for Pete the Heat Rogers lineups that contained Alec Burks.
No, I mean, you're not. I mean, Alec Burks, you know what he's going to do, right? He's
no, absolutely. And with him, it's the efficiency because he never really seems to break through 26, 27 right. minutes. Now, for him, he's like, if you go look at the game logs, they're fascinating. Yeah. 6 games ago, he had 3 blocks in in the 7 games prior to that and the 7 games after that or 6 games after that, he had 2 total blocks. Yeah. 2 games ago, he had 5 steals in the 8 games adjacent to that. He had 4 total steals. So he's just been all over the place. And then he's had a couple of good shooting nights. He will be out there. He is decent. Generally, he has the ability, and Adam Scherer talks about this all the time, he has the ability to earn more minutes if he's the hot hand. Yes. Now, if we don't have Rose, that's one less person that falls into that hot hand bucket. Quickly has not really been in the card so far this season, so there is a decent chance. At 4,200 on a 4-game slate, 0 issues whatsoever, especially on DraftKings. He's shooting guard and small forward eligible. Right. Means he's eligible for 5 of the positions. He's going to be in our lives. It's not going to be fun, but he's going to be in our lives.
See, that's for me, right? Like, if Derrick Rose is out, would you rather get to Quickly or would you rather get to a score or, you know, a walking bucket at times in Alec Burks? And I'll take that shot at 4,200. I wish that he was a little bit cheaper, but on a 4-gamer, you can find some of these sneaky players that could pop off. And I think Alec Burks definitely has that potential.
Yeah, I would say he definitely has the upside over Quickly. And we're only looking on DK. We're just looking at $400 and Quickly is point guard only. It's going to be easy to go there in the proverbial vacuum. I probably still get to Alec Burks, though I'm not overly excited about it. But we're keeping the seat warm for one Eric Lindquist. And Quickly is one of his favorite players who never gets the run. So we have to at least mention that.
I'm sorry, Eric. I'm sorry for my non-mentioning of Quickly and my sudden love for Alec Burks. I don't want to disrespect the legend in Lindquist, who's absolutely been killing it on this show.
All right, so down as we kind of wrap out the bottom, Malik Monk might get a few more shots with LeBron out. Mm-hmm. You've got Luke Kennard always floating around. Let's see, Nicholas Batum. Do we have any news
on Batum? He's in COVID protocol, actually.
Oh, is he? So no longer it still might have the whatever it was, the foot issue or the hand. I forget. I can't even remember. But so if he's out, you know, Kennard's in the mix. Terrence Mann's going to be in the mix, et cetera. Where there's one COVID case, there could be others. So watch those that part of the news as well. And then wrapping up shooting guard here on Yahoo, Cade Cunningham at 24 is going to be the easy one. Will Barton at 23. And then Eric Bledsoe. I know we were sort of making fun of him. He's still a decent play. Not particularly lights out anymore, but he could have his moments, especially if they're running a little thin. And then the wild card, probably Evan Fournier. But after his, I don't want to say hot start, but after his mostly effective start to the season, even setting aside that 50-whatever fantasy point game in the double overtime in the season opener against Boston, you know, former teams and all that stuff. But or former opponents and all that stuff, he's at 11. He's in play. I don't feel great about it. Things will start to shake out a little bit. But those are the type of players we're looking at that if they can get to 25 – and 30's not out of the question. You're going to need to have a great game from them, but they will be the difference makers on a slate like this, even as other value starts to appear. That's just going to be the way these short slates work out. Moving to the small forward position, let's see here up at the top, Paul George. I guess Paul George is worthy of a bit of a discussion. He continues to be the man on short slates. I'm sure I will have to write about him in the DFS Building Blocks article tomorrow for like the ninth time in his last 10 games. But that is free in front of the paywall every day. We also have T. McBee, Terry McBride's tournament leverage article. That's free. And then Monday through Friday, you get Adam Scherer's deep dive article, the most comprehensive write-up that is free out in the industry. So check out all of that stuff. It's at the osmo.com homepage. What do you like here at small forward?
Yeah, so I love Paul George. I absolutely love Paul George. And I think that he might be my favorite stud on the entire slate. I like the price discount in comparison to the other studs. Obviously, he doesn't have the same exact ceiling as some of the other studs, like a Jokic or a Doncic, but he has what I think is consistency. And he's not coming off of an injury, where, you know, Luka is questionable because of his ankle. You have Jokic with his wrist that we'll get to. We're not sure how he's going to be. Will he be full strength? I would much rather get to a full strength Paul George, who has been incredible this year at home against Dallas. And, you know, LA is going to need him over and over and over with no Batum. Obviously, it's not the craziest bump in usage for Paul George, because Paul George is just going to garner so much usage. Marcus Morris should be back, which is a little interesting, but I still think that Paul George is going to be absolutely phenomenal, and I love him here. He's my favorite small forward on the slate. Next to that is Jimmy Butler, where, again, I'm prioritizing health over upside. I think that Butler's price is starting to get up there where people are starting to feel a little bit uncomfortable because he doesn't have that 70, 80 point ceiling so much in compared to others. But Butler at 9.7, I still think is fine. He has shown that he could get 60 point, 50 point performances coming off of 44, 50, and 64 point performance against Detroit. My only worry would be that Miami just runs away with this a little too quickly. But with no Duncan Robinson, you just wonder how that will result in usage for the team. I just really like getting to Jimmy Butler a lot. We talked about THT. He's fine, mid-range. I don't mind him at all. I think Sadiq Bey is interesting because of his teammate, Isaiah Stewart, being, you know, suspended. It comes down to Jeremy Grant or Sadiq Bey, who I think will really, you know, garner some of this usage. And I actually think Sadiq Bey at 6,000 is fine. He played 34 and 36 minutes in his past two games. His fantasy production has not been there. He attempts a decent amount of field goals, 13, 14, 14, 17. I think that he can fall into a little bit more rebounds. He has shown that he can, you know, approach some solid rebounding numbers and give us that 40, 35 and up point performance. I like him here. He's going to need to step up if Detroit wants to maintain, you know, a competitive game against Miami. So that's kind of where I'm at with this position. Are there any players that really stick out to you here? It's kind of nice at the top and middle, and the rest of it just seems like no thank you.
Yeah, even on Yahoo, it's not overly enticing. RJ Barrett, not the worst option at 19, but Paul George and Jimmy Butler are clearly standing out. Bay is only 22, so I think I'd still rather go with RJ Barrett than Sadiq Bey, and then Talen Horton-Tucker at 18. So those will be the common ones. We'll probably not only get our small forward from one of those, but probably a forward as well on Yahoo. Speaking of Yahoo, we do have a nice deal with them. If you have not yet signed up on Yahoo, go through the link that's at the bottom in the description of our YouTube video here, or if you're listening on the podcast, the link will also be there in the podcast. Click through that link, create your account, and once you make a $10 deposit and enter into a paid contest, Yahoo is going to send us an email, and we will then give you a promo code that will get you 30 free days of all access Osmo premium content. You do have to enter an actual paid contest. Yahoo is going to give you $10 as well. When you deposit $10, you need to use your money first into any contest. Put in a $1 or $2 contest, and then you'll get we'll get the email from them. If you use their site currency first, we're not going to get that email. But hey, come on, $10 turning into 10 additional dollars plus a $90 value on the Osmo full month of premium content. And that's for all sites, all sports, not just Yahoo. Definitely a great deal. You'll want to check that out. Heading to Power Forward here, we have Anthony Davis, who I think will be our main priority. Dropped a 70 burger there. Was he inspired after LeBron was exited stage left? Perhaps. But 70 is a nice round number. We'll applaud that. Julius Randle gets to go against a former squad. He was in the doldrums there for a moment, but he does have a 40 and a 50 fantasy point game in his last two. The minutes had come down just a little bit, and the Knicks have been in just kind of humdrumming their way through this. But I think this will be a bit of a wake-up call. It's always fun to go against the Lakers, regardless of how they're performing at any given time. So I like that. Aaron Gordon had two solid games in the absence of Nikola Jokic. That's good to see, but he's always tough to trust. What are you seeing here at Power Forward?
Yeah, obviously at the top, Anthony Davis sticks out to me. And if I had to pick one Laker that I really like, it's Anthony Davis over Russell Westbrook. I like Anthony Davis and possibly pairing him with a Talen Horton-Tucker. But Anthony Davis just has that slate breaking ability. It's not the best matchup against New York. Again, I don't enjoy, you know, picking players against New York, but without LeBron, it's definitely warranted. And I can't get away from a stud in Anthony Davis at the top. Julius Randle, it's really close. It's like 1A, 1B for me because I like the salary discount for Julius Randle. I think that he's going to have to shoulder the load of New York in order to keep this game competitive because there's going to be no Mitchell Robinson. And I think that Randle's going to have to be the big body in there in addition to Nerlens Noel. But I think that Randle's going to be relied upon for his offensive production. I like him here a lot. Porzingis is kind of like, you know, my third favorite option. And, you know, with Doncic back or possibly back, we'll have to see. But it seems like Porzingis is starting to hit his stride and starting to show off that potential that we've always known that he had. His past five games, 42, 49, 48, 56, 47. Yeah, I like Porzingis a lot. I think that if Doncic is out, I like him even more. But it's not a stay away just because Doncic is ruled back in for me. Aaron Gordon is interesting. You mentioned him in the absence of Jokic. He has absolutely stepped up and kind of been that go-to guy, whereas I actually thought that Will Barton would possibly have better performances. And oddly enough, Aaron Gordon has been the guy. In 37 minutes, he went 10 of 12 from the field, 9 rebounds, 28 points, dropped 49 points against Chicago, and then just most recently, 38.5 fantasy points against Phoenix. So priced at 6,700, if Jokic is out, he might become a priority for me, but I don't mind getting to Will Barton at the small forward position. So you know, we talked about Jeremy Grant, but I really like the top end of this position. I don't want to get too cute with this one. There's studs for a reason up there, and I think that we would be losing out on massive potential for our lineups if we go elsewhere.
So I want to remind everybody that last year, I think it was the whole pandemic is my timeline all mucked up, but it was last year where Aaron Gordon filled in at point guard, yes, a fair amount for Orlando to the actual level that he got multi-position eligibility as a point guard on DraftKings. Now we haven't really seen him have to do that, nor do I think he will with Barton and with Morris and some of those other players, Campazzo, et cetera, for Denver. But it just goes to the show that he does have that all around game. And here's kind of that dozen games where he was doing quite well running the show, and these were his assist numbers: 5, 7, 9, 7, 9, 6, 3, 8, 5. Those aren't too bad for someone who's naturally a power forward, even though they insisted that on playing him as a small forward in Orlando, but with his ability to kind of run the show there in spurts, you can see why they weren't exactly right. Sure what to do with him. You would have liked to have thought they would have found something better to unlock his talents. But just kind of to point it out, that's sort of like what a Will Barton is as well. I mean, Barton is more of a small forward shooting guard, but he also has a pretty good handle and has acted as the point guard in a pinch more than once. So he's someone that was there, and he deferred a lot to Gary Harris when they played together, but he's capable of taking over the offense as well. So we'll just kind of need to see what happens there. But that's why we were all kind of initially leaning towards Barton, but it shouldn't surprise us that it was Gordon that did step up there. Not much else to talk about here at the power forward position. Nope. Kind of falls off the shelf for a lot of the people we've already hit at small forward, or we'll catch a few of them here at center. How many years has it been since Carmelo Anthony played for the Knicks? How many seasons do you know?
Oh, man.
Eight. Speaking of time playing tricks, five. But okay. When you consider the start, stop, and the pandemic, yeah,
right, exactly. Like, well, and then the brief retirement and not
in the Houston, like, yeah, where he played 10 games and they're like, deuces, we don't need
I mean,
you.
There's like six teams between that time, so
five, you're really close. There's been quite a few.
I mean, like, I mean, I like the price tag of Carmelo Anthony, and you would imagine that possibly in the absence of LeBron James, that he'll start to become that shooter that the team needs. It's just he's somewhat
going to be 38 this spring.
Yeah, he's one dimensional, and you know, when his shot's falling, it's fine. But yeah, I don't know if I want to get to him at 54. I'll have a little bit. I'll sprinkle, but nothing. Yeah. Not a strong play.
It's more just a reminder of, wow, has it really been that long since he was with the Knicks? Moving on to the center position where we'll round things out. Of course, we've already mentioned Anthony Davis, Julius Randle. We do have Kristaps Porzingis, Bam Adebayo, Yusuf Nurkic to talk about. Zubac as well. Keep in mind that Kelly Olynyk's still out. Mitchell Robinson, of course, is out. But at the top, we've got to figure out what's going on with Jokic. The Jokic and Doncic pieces here are going to swing the slate dramatically. Without them, it's going to be a little tougher to go stars and scrubs. Not that many stars. We could, by default, a mid-tier build. I love when people say, "Oh, I'll go with the mid-tier build." No, we're being forced into it. We want stars and scrubs. The math checks that out. But if there is nobody to spend on, then yeah. We'll go for a more even build here. What do you like with the centers as we wrap up our four-game slate?
I don't ever want to say I don't like Jokic, because I absolutely love Jokic. It's just that I'm a little hesitant because of his wrist injury. And if he's not at full strength, I don't know how – I don't know. I mean, I know this team needs to filter everything through him in order to be successful, yes. But if he's not 100% and he has a 11-4 price tag – I wonder if we could go elsewhere and possibly get the same production, like from an Anthony Davis at 10-9 with less risk, a Julius Randle at 10-flat with less risk, obviously less ceiling, but less risk. And I'm okay with that. I'd rather not put in a player and get a mediocre performance because that they were somewhat limited. We'll have to see and pay attention to the news, but Bam Adebayo at 8,500 in a spot where Isaiah Stewart was just suspended, I think is a nice one where he can go out there and smash Detroit. Obviously he has not had the best past three games, 35, 33, 25. He plays a large amount of minutes. It's just, you know, Miami's talented. I can't wait to watch Miami as the year progresses. Every now and then Bam's going to have a monster game, and his price tag at 8,500 could scare some people off because they're either going to go higher than him or slightly below him and take a shot at Ivica Zubac or maybe a Nurkic. But I'll tell you what, Nurkic at 6,300, I can't do it, EMAC, and the reason I can't do it is because these minutes are just 23, 23, 18, 21. They have not improved at all, and because they haven't improved, no matter what the matchup is, from night to night, you just don't know what Nurkic is going to get. That price tag is always enticing, but it's just not a reliable thing. I'd rather go to a player like a Nerlens Noel at 4,200 where I know he's going to be needed. It's a value piece, but I'll tell you what, you know, paying at the top for an Anthony Davis or a Bam Adebayo makes a ton of sense for this position. I try not to get too cute with the center spot. We talked about it last night. I try to get as much center exposure as possible, and it generally works out.
All right. It's going to wrap it up for us here. Looking over at Yahoo, we have, okay, Nurkic at 23 over there. Not the worst option. Mm-hmm. That's a tepid response, but if Jokic is out, we're going to lean towards Davis. Adebayo at 34 is reasonable, but then after Nurkic, we're looking at Zubac for 18. That feels a bit spendy. Isaiah Hartenstein, a little bit tough to trust as well, because Serge Ibaka was back up from the G League. So those guys are each going to lose a few minutes. I don't really, as I've mentioned before, I don't like punting center because on Yahoo, because that's generally where the best point per dollar plays are. So you want to look for those mid-tier to higher tier players. So I think it's going to be an Anthony Davis kind of night, maybe a little Adebayo, and you hope you get a close enough game to keep them in the mix. But in a close game against Washington, he played 30 minutes and only had 23 fantasy points. The game prior to that against Washington as well, 30 minutes, 31 fantasy points. So that's, that, you know, even in a reasonably good matchup, not that Washington plays fast. They have better defense, better rebounders, better everything this year, but they're just league average. Right. But it just shows that Adebayo, for as talented as he is, he can be put in a tenuous spot when you've got Jimmy Butler there, when you've got Kyle Lowry, you've got Tyler Hero, you've got Duncan Robinson, who's dinged up, but you got enough other people there that he doesn't have to do everything when they're all healthy. So that makes it interesting. And guess what? The Milwaukee Bucks have emptied the bench. The third quarter just wrapped up. They're up by almost 50 points. So Giannis is done for the night. The Giannis is not. Giannis, 24 minutes, 12 points, 9 boards, 8 assists, almost a triple-double. That's the kind of production he has. We just needed a couple more minutes there.
I know.
He might have gotten to 40.
It's crazy. And that Orlando value is kind of a little ugly. Right? I mean, you know what I mean? Because, like, the game just was not too competitive. What'd I tell you? They were down 43 in the first half or something crazy like that. It's, man, on a short four-gamer. Like
rookie Franz Wagner, 0-for-9. Wendell Carter Jr. has 8. Mo Bamba has 2 points. Jalen Suggs has 5.
Yeah.
Your leading scorer of the Orlando Magic, Mulder, with the spot stars.
So random.
I didn't realize he was still in the league.
Oh, man.
Let's see. Michael Mulder, this is his 6th game for Orlando tonight, his first start. Congratulations.
Oh, my goodness. Well, RJ Hampton started to turn it up. At least somebody's doing something. 21 with 10 minutes to go in the game. But it just goes to show you that when there's some chalky value, sometimes it just doesn't come through, especially if the game's not going to be competitive. Like when the game Orlando is dinged up, left, you know, with no Cole Anthony, they're just not the same team.
And by the time you think of everybody else who's you know, Michael Carter Williams,
right, exactly.
Fultz, Isaac, they have all just a ton of injuries. So they're playing with two rookie first rounders are starting for them. Now Mulder, RJ Hampton,
Giannis.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, some of these guys might be better off in the G League, but they're starting tonight. So here we go. But that is basketball. This is the DFS puzzle. We all have the same pieces, the same clues, and we just try to figure out how to read the tea leaves. That is what makes it so much fun each and every day. Reminder, that promo code to get you 1 week of the Osmo NFL Express package is stuffing. Just $1. Get in there. You get all the showdown content. There's 3 showdown games on Thanksgiving, and those are gigantic prize pools. Plus, generally, the Sunday and Monday prize pools after Thanksgiving are rather large as well, because most people are at home. So they have nothing better to do than to enter those contests. So we're going to have some Millie Makers. It's going to be a lot of fun. With that, you can follow Pete on Twitter at PeteTheHeatMMA. I am at EmacDFS. And of course, it is Osmo _ COM. With that, gamers, good luck.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.